have another substitute.
Well, good morning, church. Good morning, church. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of God. Amen. I'm gonna get y'all fired up one way or another, because I got a sermon I got to preach today that I need help on. So, a few things as we get started this morning. First one is announcements, prayer requests. If you are online, and we have several that are today. If you are online, make sure you put your prayer request to JenkinsPrayer@gmail.com, or anybody in here can do the same thing. Send it there, and we'll have a prayer for the people at the end of the service. Child care with Liz and Joy, but they're not here, so we'll figure it out. If you little ones come in, Joy's here. Oh, there's Joy right there. You weren't sitting there, you were walking. I can't see a moving target. Weekday Bible study. First, before I want to mention this, we got a sheet coming around. I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere this direction. We're going to be signing up to do a new directory, old school directory. Somebody said, why are you doing that rather than one online? We may have one online, but there's a directory is sort of like a snapshot of our church at a time. So I think it's kind of cool to do it like that. And so we're going to start one. We're going to have pictures September 13th. Yes? I got it. Thank you, Brenda.
Please, everybody participate. Every single family in this church is important to us.
Yes.
Everybody represented. Please.
Yes.
Also, Pastor,
if I might say, knock yourself out.
This is perfect timing, because one of the things I love to get, along with other gifts, pictures, is a new portrait of my family, my daughter and her family, grandkids. So this is perfect timing. These portraits will be back. You get a free portrait. So these portraits will be back in time for Christmas. Very precious. One of the most precious things to me after my husband's passing were the portraits that we had made together, and they were from the church directory. So these are precious to your family. So everybody, please participate.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. That's a great point. You'll be able to purchase more if you want to. It's a very low pressure. They're not putting pressure, not telling, trying to get you a sale. But if you want to get extras, you can to do as presents or whatever. September 13th is the date. We need a certain number of people signing up. So as it comes around, sign up and we'll get the pictures taken. And we'll do these sign-ups and for a couple, three more weeks until the day is yep. Yep, if you've missed it, catch you out front and we'll do it out there. So, yeah, that's what's going on with that. Thank you, Brenda, for kicking that off for us very much. Weekday Bible study, we're doing Noah and Timothy next week, not this week. I'm out this week. Just a heads up, the offices will be closed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And Suzanne and I have to kind of take a trip out of town for a couple of days. We'll be back Thursday, so no Bible study this week. It'll be next week, and we'll do Noah and Timothy. Brick orders, some of them are coming in. We're going to order these through the end of the month. If you want to do a new brick for our prayer garden, the forms are outside on the cabinet. They're $50. We're getting them coming in pretty good, so this will be good. Floor cleaning this week, Sunday through Wednesday. We ask that you don't come in the building. We'll get the floors stripped and cleaned, ready for the new year, the day school year. And so if you do need to get in the building for some reason, use the far doors. And that's about the only way you can get in the place. So, but try not to come in Monday through Wednesday. Young adults, Liz isn't here, but we're going to have a class hopefully to begin Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. And so that comes here just in a few weeks. This will be fantastic. So Liz is not here. She's not feeling well. She's got a bug. The doctor said, do not go to church. And so she's not, but that's coming up soon. More information to come about that. Jenkins ladies, y'all doing the same thing September 13th on a Saturday. It's going to be a fall wreath thing here in the gym. So let Liz know about that. This is going to be another fun women's event. Guys, I would love maybe us find a time to watch a football game together. So I'm going to talk to some of y'all about getting together and watch a game somewhere. But that's coming as well. Any other announcements? Anything else in the church for the church that we need to talk about? September 3rd, it's going to be that day, but it's going to be all day long, and you can sign. And I think, tell me, 12-minute intervals, is that right? Do I remember that right? They coming in quick.
So we can work around with the rethinking. If you want to come to that, of course, then just sign up for our pastor, and he'll be here to
It make it easier for some people who come up. Just go right in and do that. So, yep. Any other announcements? Big, good question. Any other announcements? Anything else going on in the life of the church? If not, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Michael Nairn this morning said on the way over here, he said, there's going to be a bunch of people at church this Sunday like there's been the last few Sundays. I was like, yeah, man, there is. My bad, brother. We got a lot of people traveling and who are sick this Sunday, which means your participation is vitally important. So let us stand together for our call to worship. It's Psalm 103, and it's a short one this week. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless the Lord's holy name. Let's go to God in prayer. Well, that's exactly what we ask today, that you encourage us and you strengthen us and you give us the ability to do is to remember you in everything. But all week long, we've had things that we've dealt with. We've had experiences that we've gone through. We've had situations that have happened. And sometimes we've kept our mind on you, and sometimes maybe we've not. But that doesn't mean that you hadn't existed all week long. And we've seen you somewhere. We've seen you in someone. We've seen you in some act. We've seen you in some version of nature. We've seen your presence, and we've known how good you are. And so we ask in this moment that we reflect on that and only that. Only allow us to remember those moments where you were so powerful and you were so amazing and you do such beautiful things in this world, lifting people, helping people, causing us to love one another. Thank you, God, for those things, and remind us of them in every moment for the next hour, hour and 15 minutes, so that we can respond to you as we should. Grateful people, because we are able to see a God that moves and shakes in this world. Thank you, God, for doing that. And thank you, God, for allowing us to remember it so that we can worship you right. And God's people said.
Good morning. I'd like for you to welcome my good friend Linda Martinez, who has kind of stepped in at the last minute here for us. And as you can tell, she is awesome. So we're going to sing Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision, O Lord. Thou art my best God, my day or my night.
I'm going to read this morning our scripture of assurance from Isaiah. I love this scripture. The idea in it that, well, if you want it, this is how you do it. Like, if you're really asking for it, here's how. It's very straightforward, and I absolutely love it. So it's from Isaiah 58, last half of 9 through 14. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of waters whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own way, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I'll make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Church, if that isn't a promise, I don't know where one is. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. You want to rescue yourselves? You want to fix your place? Then free people from the yoke of oppression. Give food to people who need it. And on and on and on down the list. You want to do it? Here's how. And I'll tell you how it's true. I said it was. That's who our God is. That's who Isaiah said about God. And so if we want that in our lives, it's what we do. If we want it as a culture, it's what we do. If we want it as whatever, it's what we do. And we have a promise that we will be called the repairers of the breach, the restorers of the streets to live in. That's our promise, and thank God for it. Let's sing again to that God.
You can see we have a small choir today, so help us by singing out.
Today, I think you're already with Polly, so it's all good. Got it covered, don't you? Mr. Harold, I got to tell you something real quick, sir. That song means a lot to me because your bride, when we sang it one time, sat right there in her wheelchair and sang every word of it, never looked at a screen, never looked at anything, and knew every word of that song. And I don't know why that has stuck with me all these years. But I could see her there just a second ago, sure as the world, singing along. So God bless you, brother. It just was one of those moments that just people pop in your mind. You know what I mean? So every word. I thank you for your continued gifts to the church. We say it every Sunday because it's true every Sunday. We do a lot of good out of the church, and we provide a place of Christian learning here, and I thank you that you support that. A lot of going on in the church right now, a lot of things moving, and so your gifts, not just in your monetary funds, but in all the ways, your time and all of that is so important. And thank you for all those who have jumped in with both feet into learning through our ways of the church. It's fantastic to have a church that gives your time and your resources so much. If you do want to give of your monetary funds, it's shows on the screen how, and you can find it in other places as well. But thank you for doing so. And let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the chance to give in this world. We know, Lord, that in giving it does just something good. We just know it does. We say way too often, God, that when we give, it just feels so good to give. And we feel like we're the ones that are changed because of giving and all this, but we know down deep inside the reason we give is because people need it. And so we thank you that we get to include ourselves in the lives of others and to care for others in whatever way. We thank you for the chance to give this church, to make a place in this community for Christian learning and our expression of the faith. We thank you, God, for these things. And we thank you for a place, Lord, where we can study Scripture. We can learn of your word and then go into the world and live it out to take this church into the communities of life and find ways to bring a light to the world because the world needs it. We thank you, God, that this is what we get to do and that we get to be a part of it. And God's people said, our scripture this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians again. We are almost halfway through it now, not quite. And I've really enjoyed the opportunity to sort of dig into it. I've not gotten to do this before. So this is 1 Thessalonians 2, and then the 13th through the 16th verses. And we also thank God continually, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people, did the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that we may be saved. In this way, they always heap upon their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Church, sometimes I feel a little guilty because I'm not a very spiritual pastor. That's not my expression of the faith. My expression of the faith usually comes from learning about the words in Scripture, the context, the culture of learning how the everything fits together, and I love that part of it. I love learning about the faith, which is good because I'm supposed to be a teacher of a bootleg preacher I get, but I'm supposed to be a teacher of some sort, and I thank God that's one of my expressions of faith. My faith is also a very practical faith, and I recognize that. I think it's about the way. A living of the way in this world that is a particular manner of living. I try to believe what Jesus says about living a particular type of life. Sandra, I fail miserably. I don't know if you know that, but I do pretty often. But I try. We all try. That's the attempt. And we hope we're forgiven. We all do. And then we try again. But church, I believe in a way of peace. I believe in a way of unmerited grace. I believe in a way of mercy. I believe in a way of non-judgment in this world. I believe in non-compliance to the inevitably broken ways of worldly powers. And I do all that because I believe loving all my neighbors in this creation as much as I love myself, because I love God that much, is what is right to do. So when even it doesn't look like it, I try. We try. We try our best. We work on it. We fail. We're forgiven, and we try it again. But I feel guilty because sometimes you all seem so spiritual, but that's not my gift. It's just not. I don't have those miraculous moments. I'm jealous of how you all have experienced God before. I'll be honest with you. I really am. Wish I had them. But I came here to say that's okay. It's okay that we all experience our God different. I'm not complaining about it. We all are different. We all do share our faith in different ways. I thank God for you all's spiritual stories, your histories, and your lives. It's not my experience, but I get to live through yours, and that's almost as good. It's fascinating. It's beautiful. Our relationship with God isn't a solo effort. Following Jesus is a group project, which is probably why we try to make it a solo effort all the time, because none of us like group projects, right? But it takes all of our expressions in the faith to get even close to who God is. But that leaves us a problem. What if there are expressions of the faith that aren't in this room? What if there are expressions of the faith that we simply don't know? What if there are expressions of the faith that maybe don't even benefit us all that much? What then? What do we do then with those experiences? What do we do then when we don't necessarily always want to include them, even if we could? See, Paul had an experience of the faith that we won't have. Others had it too. Paul had it. Silas had it. Timothy had it. The church in Thessalonica had it. They experienced faith so much differently than we ever had because they faced oppression. They were a minority and they paid for it, man. Sometimes they paid with it for their lives. But we've never experienced anything of being a person of faith as a bad thing. We've never experienced that to really any great... Have you been put in jail for your faith? Have you been marginalized for living a godly life? Have you been looked upon with suspicion when you won't follow the empire's king? Are your jobs taken away from you because you won't sacrifice and burn incense to the empire? Are your livelihoods yanked because our commitment to loving our God and loving our neighbors made us vulnerable? That's not been us, has it? Have we experienced any of that? Now, of course, there is some Christian persecution in this world today. I'm not denying that there is. Depending on which organization you ask, there's a few thousand that were killed, Christians that were killed last year because of their faith. Nigeria is especially challenging. About 3/4 of the deaths happened there. That's a larger problem than just the faith there, though. Christians often have farms. Muslims also often are shepherds, and so they're fighting over land, and so Christians are killing others too, is my point. But still, there are plenty of places where you best not have a Christian church in public. Not if you want to stay off the radar of the important people. Even in Morocco, where we left our hearts, by the way, part of it anyway, even there, you know, I'm careful not to proselytize anybody. You can't convert a Muslim of the country, right? I can be a preacher, I can tell everybody that, but there's some limitations to these things. I get it. So yeah, there's still problems. But I fear far more are killed in God's name than are killed for it, is my point. Paul's people dealt with something we just don't know. The church was facing terrible oppression because they were so different. Imagine a typical week for a new convert in Thessalonica. Let's imagine Alexis and Shai. That's their names. And they're this brand new couple in the faith. They just became Christians, and now they were baptized, and the whole church went nuts, and it was a great day because somebody else saw this light. And then Monday rolled around. They're leather workers, we'll say that. And on Monday, a customer came in. The customer wanted a big order. He needed a set of tack or whatever, I don't know, a harness for his new cow that was going to plow the field. And when they got done, and I said, I'll have it done 2 Wednesdays from now, and the guy said, well, I'll pay this much for it, and they came to agreement, and then the customer said, and I swear on my God that I'll pick it up when it's done. And he put out his hand. See, that was what happened. You didn't have contracts, right? You didn't have any of this. You had your word, and you promised on your God, you swore on your God that you would fulfill it. Your word was your bond through your promise of your God. And now what do if you're Alexis and Shy? Do you swear on their God too? Because you need the sale? Or do you say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. My word is my bond. And then the customer leaves because they want somebody they can trust who will make a promise. And so now on the way home with your pocketbook lighter, you walk by the butcher, and the butcher's got a deal on meat today. So that's great. We need a deal on meat today. I didn't make my sale. We need this. But do you know what the meat was? It was from the sacrifice in Venus's temple. And now I have to ask, if I eat that steak, is it going to remind me that I could have had two steaks? And so I walk home and I eat lentil soup and I feed the kids some olives and some bread. And I say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, honey, I didn't make the sale today. Tuesday rolls around. And on Tuesday, and somebody shows up from the local guild officer shows up. And he comes around and he said, the leather workers, every leather worker has to make a batch of straps. And on one side of it, it needs the emperor's stamp. And on the other side of it, it has these words, Divi Filius, which means son of God. In other words, that's who he is, Caesar, son of God. What do Christians do? Do you make these and do you make your batch? Do you use some of your leather and make it for the guild? Or do you maybe go, I feel guilty about not using my time and my stuff to give to them, so I'll make it for the poor instead. That's what I'll do, and I'll let them sell it then. They can make some money. And then when the guild officer shows up the next day looking for his... I bet it's going to be a really good story that you didn't make them for the emperor. You made them for poor people instead. And what happens then the next time that the couple needs to borrow something from the guild, a tool, whatever? Think others are going to be too kind when these two didn't carry their load? On Wednesday, a leather merchant comes to the market to sell the leather that they need, and everyone is buying. And the merchant isn't from around here, and you know how merchants are. They're always trying to rob you anyway. And so what we do is we always adjust the scales a little bit. And so we get a little more leather than we should get for our dollar. But now this Sunday, or this day, this Wednesday, when he doesn't show up, when he shows up, I can't do that to him. He's got a family too, you know. And so I pay a little bit more. And then he has to ask why I paid more, and now I got to tell him because it wasn't fair. All these times, and here I'm making it up to you. On Thursday, suddenly you're disinvited, or they're disinvited from an association dinner. Someone said something about them being a risk, not sure where their allegiance stood, so they had to go eat with other Christians, people who were handing out burritos maybe, and they leaned on the care of others as their livelihoods drifted away. On Friday, the cousin's kid got sick, and they went to the shrine. They're going to go to the shrine for a healing rite. The parents believe the gods must be sacrificed to appease with a sacrifice of healing. And sometimes in Venus's temple, things got a little rowdy. Some things happened that didn't need to happen, that God wasn't about. And so do you go? You love that cousin, man, and you love that cousin's kid. So do I go and I just play my game? Or do I have to stay out and risk a family rift? On Saturday, it gets back to the new Christians that we are. It gets back to people. These new Christians sure act like freeloaders. They're eating food that other people provided. They're not working the guild like they're told to. Everybody else had to pick up their slack because these freeloaders, they seem to have forgotten what's good. They're dishonoring the empire, and they're dishonoring the gods that got them where they are. And oh yeah, I've heard they're cannibals too. Did you know they eat the body of somebody and drink their blood? And so finally, this new family of Christians, are they better off? I mean, the authorities are fine until you stop doing the things you're supposed to do. Do they get a visit? Keep your head down. Don't make waves. So thank God for Sundays, huh? Thank God for Sundays when these Christians can gather in a house church and then get together with other believers they can gather and they can praise the resurrected Jesus who loved and who healed and who taught that to be less is to be more and to serve is to be faithful. And so they'd sing and they'd pray and they'd break bread around the table and they'd drink the wine of forgiveness and they'd lived in a community of faith that was different. And it wasn't easy, for you don't sing too loud and you don't pray where others might hear who you're praying to. And you do it all around a table of folks that you did not expect to eat with before, and they never knew when might be the last time they got to do it. All because they decided that God is love. And so they intended to do that, to love without restraint. Why does love create such animosity? Why does love create this animosity? Why does caring people provoke that so often? Why is it that love, man, we're talking about love now. Why does love do this? Why do people hate so much who people love and how they do it? The best answer I've heard is love is the one power the world can't control. It's the one thing they can't do a thing about. I'll do anything for love if I truly love. Love is dangerous, dude. Love is as dangerous as it is kind. The world's always telling us to be careful on who we love, to reserve love, to be realistic with our love, that love can't be everywhere. I can't find many places in this world. I can't find many that we demand to love our enemy except for one person who said it in Jesus Christ. I can't find it many other places. It must have been brutal to be a Christian in those days. And so, Paul says, we also constantly give thanks to God for this, that you can receive the word of God, that you heard from us, you accepted it, not as human, but if what it really is, God's word. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you suffered the same thing from your own compatriots as they did from the Jews who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out too. They displease God and oppose everyone. Can we know a life like this? We're talking about it all the time. Let's read 1 Thessalonians. Let's get it. But can we understand this life? It is not our experience. So don't be just shocked and amazed. I'm 6 pages into writing my dissertation now. Fear me. It's going to be 160 before it's over with. I'm not that far. 6 pages in. It's about a guy named Claude Williams. Claude was born in Gibson County in 1895 up in northwest Tennessee. You know where Gibson County is over there, don't you? Born up there. Grew up Cumberland Presbyterian, got drafted, and he finished being a drill. He was a drill sergeant. That's Army, right? Drill sergeant. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I brought up the name. Drill sergeant. Right as the war ended. His mom and dad were sharecroppers. They were poor as poor could be. The only people poorer than that were black sharecroppers of the day. Claude and grew up even more racist than he did poor. This was all from his writings and others. He came by it honestly. His dad told him one time, he's like, son, it's just the bad news. It's not a good thing. It's just necessary. Sometimes a black person has to die to keep everybody else in order. He said that to his son. Can you imagine? One time when Claude was a kid, he touched a black child's hair. He wrote that he spent all day trying to figure out how to wash it off. After some lamentable years, as he called them, Claude went into the ministry. Early on, boy, he's a fire and brimstone preacher. He could bring it. That brother would preach the cover off of a Bible. He talked about keeping our passions in check on this journey between here and the pearl gates of heaven. He left the Cumberland Presbyterian Church in 1923. They got mad at him because he married his girlfriend, and didn't tell nobody. They got mad at him for it. And so he went to a Presbyterian church over here near Las Casas and one over near Lebanon. But he got frustrated after a while. The church would amen him to death. He could preach like he could preach, and they would amen his powerful sermons. They loved his sermons on baptism because it upset all the Baptist and Church of Christ folks in town, and all those preachers had to start preaching in their pulpits about what baptism was. But he noticed something. His people weren't really changing. They didn't really care about the poor. And he knew about poverty. They just sort of went on with life because it was carefree. This was a roaring 20s. And he noticed one other thing. He noticed that the most earnest man in the church, the most earnest one, was a black man that sat on the back row every single Sunday. Every Sunday he was there. The only place he was allowed to sit in the room, by the way. And that man tuned into every word. He tuned into every song. He prayed every prayer from the Dear God to the Amen. And he was required to sit there. And week after week after week, Claude saw him. And it was weighing on him. And it was pressuring him. And so he started praying about it. He started thinking about it. He started suffering over it. And one day, Claude walked to the back at the end of the service, and he shook the black man's hand before he touched anybody else in the room, and he asked him his opinion on the day. Right there in front of God and everybody, he did this. 1926. And he did it every Sunday afterwards. He was gone by 1930. Shocked face. Went to Paris, Arkansas, other side of Little Rock, about 2 hours. Little church had nothing, 15 members. The roof was falling in, a little Presbyterian church, but they had money. And so they asked the pastor if he would come and be the pastor of the church, and had the interview and this, that, and the other. And he said, yes, as long as I can work with the poor. They was like, absolutely, you can go do that. And so Claude's Christianity had changed. He saw different things now. 4 years later, he got fired from there. One of the reasons was the first thing he did was put a pool table in the church. Rather than shutting down the bootlegger-owned pool hall in town like the other preachers wanted, he just bought a pool table, stuck it upstairs. He used to have interracial dances in the church in Arkansas in the 1930s. Someone in town nicknamed his church the Hell Hole Presbyterian Church. It became the nickname of the church. And so you know what he did? He put signs up all over town that said, come to the Hell Hole Presbyterian Church for a dance. Dude was a lunatic, y'all. That wasn't what got him fired, though. What got him fired was he started organizing sharecroppers and miners, black and white. All of them poor as could be. The Great Depression was now in full swing, man. He noticed how the landowners and the mine owners were still doing okay, but there was this great poverty amongst the workers, and so he got unions formed and all kinds of stuff that would make people hate him today too. And then all those people that he got organized, and he started coming to his church, and then they started joining his church, and then they started voting themselves elders in the church. Well, that's not going to work. And so the 15 members, or some of them, who were, by the way, the landowners and the miners, or the people that were striking, they wrote presbytery. And presbytery came in, and they dissolved the pastoral relationship between him and the church. They didn't stop him. He kept doing Claude things, They finally called him a communist, because that's what everybody says when people do stuff like that. They dogged on him until the Presbyterians revoked his ordination in the 1950s. God bless them. They gave it back to him in the 1960s, but whatever. Why'd he do all that? Because he believed in Jesus Christ. Passionately. He believed and he taught that Jesus Christ came to rescue those who were left out. So he joined the picket lines, and he did jail time. He got his home ransacked time and again. Crosses burned in his yard by neighbors. In 1936 or so, he and Willie Sue Blanton, while going from Little Rock up to Earl, Arkansas, got kidnapped. They were looking for a man who had disappeared off of a picket line. They got kidnapped in Earl. They got taken to a field, and Claude got beaten within an inch of his life. Willie Sue got beaten a little bit as well. She hiked her picture up hiked her leg up for pictures so they could see the bruises on her leg. But God bless them, they opened the barbed wire for her to get through, because they were gentlemanly like that. Claude died in 79, broke. I got his file cabinets in my office now. Thank you, brother, for helping me to go to Birmingham to get those. That man's my hero back there in the back, by the way. God bless his grandkids for letting me have them, too. I guess I bring it up because Claude had it all. In 1942, he went to Detroit and was making $80,000 a year in today's money. He had a beautiful house. 2 years later, he was gone, fired for the same old thing. He couldn't help himself. He was eat up with Jesus. The version that he believes spoke into our world today, he didn't have to be that way. He wasn't that way for a good majority of his life. But he couldn't help himself once the Lord got a hold of him. I'm writing my dissertation on him so his memory doesn't just poof and be vanished. And this morning I think he shows us that Thessalonica wasn't an isolated incident. Claude was very popular when he was preaching a popular Jesus. When he deviated from that path, Thank God for a resurrecting God, church. Thank God for a God who wins in the end. Thank God for a God who won't let it stay like this forever. Thank God for wrath, whatever that looks like. Thank God for it, because this ain't right, Claude said. And Claude, like Paul and like Jesus, was willing to pay the price, for he knew the price that had been paid for him. Look, we know what's right and wrong, church. We know. We've read the Bible, right? We know what's in here, I hope. If not, we've heard a lot about it. But there are some things in here that are tough, that are very challenging. There are some things that go against everything else that makes sense in the world. There are things in there that are not popular and agreed upon by society. Jefferson hated the Bible so much, parts of it, that he cut it up and glued it back together. And I'm not sure we don't do the same thing sometimes. What part are we willing to give up? What parts of Jesus are we willing to give up so that our day-to-day life better agrees with the world's way, which does make it a little easier to get along, you know? What parts of the world do we give up? Because giving it up means that we get to live in the joy and the mercy and the grace and the peace of God that feels so good once we experience it, even when the world does not like it at all. What are we willing to give up of the world? What are we willing to give up of God's way? Are we willing to negotiate our faith? And I ask this because I have no answer to it. I don't have an answer. I struggle because maybe Thessalonica isn't that much different from every other moment of human life. I struggle because I want to live in God's compassion and piety because it's a right thing to do. But man, it's easy not to care sometimes. It's easy to just go along, to get along, to modulate my Christianity. We learned, was it in Bible study or Sunday school? I don't remember. But there is sin lurking at the door, and all we got to do is turn our back for a moment. Is our context anything like Paul's? Church, I ask for forgiveness for what comes next. Something happened to me this week that I cannot shake. I can't shake it, church. And so I need to talk about it for the sake of doing it in public. Here I go. We help a family in this church. There's parents and kids. They're in this country on what is called temporary protected status. It was a designation given to immigrants from countries where the countries are places that are untenable or dangerous and really don't need to be sent back there. You check in with the courts every so often under the temporary protected status, and that status is ending on September 10th. It's been canceled. There's 350,000 Venezuelan refugees that are affected by it, including our family that we help here out of this church. We've been giving this family food for, Julie, 2-3 years now at least. Had to be, right? Good people, man. So we met the other day. Emery interpreted for us. Y'all remember Emery? Some of you do. Because we were looking for a lawyer. They have a hearing in November. They don't have much money. And suddenly they got the rug pulled out from under them. So we're trying to find an organization that will assist us and give them some help legally. And it's been a tough go so far. We sat around the table the other day. We've been talking and talking and talking, and finally asked my brother the question that had been hounding me for weeks now. So I grabbed my phone and I pulled up Google Translate, because I don't speak Spanish and they don't speak English much. They're learning, I'm not. And I typed in the following words: what will happen to you if you go back? What will happen to you if you go back? You want vulnerable, like I said 2 weeks ago? You're getting it right now, church. I can't shake what happened. It's permanently affected me. He smiled. The weirdest smile I've ever seen. He smiled with a smile that the acknowledgement was that I finally asked the right question. And then the smile fell away. And he texted me back. And he said, I'll be killed. immediately upon my return. He owns a clothing store in Venezuela or something like that. He made a stitching motion when I asked him what he did. I couldn't tell exactly, but I did find out through Emory translating that his daughter was a member of an organization that has spoken out against Maduro. I think it's Maduro, is it the guy's name? A man who was elected but who now rules the country by decree. The country, the government found out who she was, and when he was still living there, they bombed his business. They threw a firebomb into it. They fled. They ran away, sold everything, all the way to Jenkins Food Pantry. And if he goes back, he's dead. They already have a family that went back. They've been in the States for 4 or 5 years, he said, under the same program. They went to a hearing. Immediately upon the hearing, everything was revoked. They were taken into custody. The family was split up. The parents went to one facility and were kept separately. The children, a boy and a girl, 10 and 8, were kept in another facility separately. And after 2 weeks and a couple of days, they were dropped off outside some family's home in Venezuela. I asked him where he would go, and he just shrugged. Our friend is missing a leg, too. He has a prosthetic, so that's easy. And I cannot shake the look he gave me. I saw a man resigned and yet still hopeful. A man scared to death but determined. I saw a wife who could not hold all the tears back. Her heart was breaking. And after I left, I received the following text in Spanish. Oh, my pastor, thank you so much, pastor. You can count on me for whatever you want, whatever you need, just let me know. And I would gladly be there to support you as you're supporting me. Thank you so much and blessings. May God multiply everything you have done for me and my family. Thank you so much. As soon as I have the proposal, I'll let you know. Don't worry. Thank you so much and have a nice day. And then he replied with this again. Okay, my pastor, thank you very much. I don't know how to thank you, how to repay you everything you've done for me and my family. Thank you very much, my pastor. I truly appreciate you from my heart and I love you very much. Thank you very much. Yes, I will be very careful. Don't worry. I'll let you know if anything happens. What do we do, church? What do I do? How do we walk the path that goes by the man in the ditch and doesn't swerve to the other side of the road for our own concerns? What do we do, church? How do we remember the gospel? How do we remember Christ? How do we hold firm whenever something hits deep? How do we hold firm to the gospel no matter what? How do we hold on to it like Paul was willing to do? Like Silas, like Timothy, like a whole flock of sheep who were so strong in that Thessalonian church. I don't know, I'm struggling. I'm struggling, church. I cannot get my friend's look out of my mind. So what do we do? We do the Lord's work. That's what we do. Whatever it is in this world, we do the Lord's work. That's what we do, and we trust in the God that even if we suffer distrust, even if we suffer disharmony, even if somebody comes at us because of what we believe about the faith when we're loving people, that there is a Christ that rose from the dead. Amen. There is a Christ that rose from the dead. Amen. Amen, there is. And he will rise the prophets into eternity with him. Because I know one thing. I'm not about to fill up my cup with God's wrath anymore. I've done that in my life enough. I'm over here trying to be a mustard bush, even if I got to be the seed. I want God's joy, and I want God's peace. And I want it for you, me, and I want it for you. I want it for my friend. I want it for Claude. And I want it for everyone in God's creation, whether they know it yet or not. And so I ask the question, Paul's question, Jesus' question that must be asked. What am I willing to give up so that I live right with God and my neighbor? And that's a question we must all ask. Everyone must ask from now until eternity. And God's people said. Amen. Our last song this morning is We Will Glorify. That's number 72. Would you please sing?
Actually, I'm going to do something different. Because after hearing this story, I would like for us to sing number 285. And this is a surprise to everybody, including myself. So it's not going to be up here on your screen. So please grab a hymnal and turn to 285. Everybody a chance to get their hymnals out. And you can rise.
Be seated. Sorry, please be seated. Do we have a prayer thing that came out? Okay, perfect. Few that we know we need to be in prayer for. Carlene, sister, so good to see you. We are not going to stop praying for you.
Thank you for that. Please keep continuing.
Carlene, you going for another test, hopefully this week. Yeah. If I ever hear the words, if insurance agrees to it or not, again, I'm going to scream. But yes, we're praying for you this week, sister. Susan Eads had surgery Tuesday. I talked to Mike Thursday. She was kind of turning the corner a little bit. She had a hip replacement. I haven't talked to her since Thursday. Has anybody else heard from Susan? Yes, sir. Doing much better. Good, good, good. Yeah, they just got home, I think, Thursday, because they had to spend the night. Her blood pressure was doing crazy things. So continue prayers for your, for our sister Joyce, obviously. And Ed, good to see you here today, my brother. Very good to see you, my man. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for this morning? Yeah.
Mom and her ongoing blood pressure issues. And Sherry Windrow, I think it would be fantastic and greatly appreciated if anybody has time this week to drop a card to some of our people who aren't able to come. I think they would all appreciate that.
Suzanne saw Sherry at
Dollar General.
Why did I doubt that you and Sherry hooked up at Dollar General? I don't know. So they got together at Dollar General and talked for 15, 20 minutes, I guess. And I think it'd be nice if she got a card or two and some phone calls and texts. It'd be good in all of those. So Mr. West as well. He's obviously bedridden. Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am.
If you please pray for the family of Bill Young. He is my brother-in-law. And he's not felt well for several months, but they just recently found out that he has kidney cancer and lung cancer.
Bill Young and family, who is dealing with multiple cancer issues. Yeah. Are there others this morning? Yes, sir. Tell us how.
So, I'm sorry. Thank you very much
for the healing service last weekend. Very much appreciated. We know God answers all prayers. Sometimes he says no. I got to see him, got to say goodbye. We got him home, and within 12 hours, he passed at his home. So it's a better result than then.
Yeah.
So thank you. And prayers, please, for his wife, Ann Morrison, of 47 years, who's now by herself and has no family or really any significant friends.
Can I tell you the closest thing to the miracle I saw this week with your trip? Can I tell this? Whitney has a hard time traveling long distances because of the injury and those sorts of things. How far is it over there? Like 107 hours to Greenville? It's forever.
Well, we were gone from my house 12 hours, 10 and a half of that was driving.
10 and a half was driving, and this is not something normally what you can do without significant pain. How much pain was there?
Yeah, I got through it.
You got through it, man. Like, there was
and
that.
Actually, we got to help some people on an accident on the way. We were 15 minutes on I-24, and there was an accident. We were front line, and we pulled over and were able to comfort some people and get some help there.
So I'd argue prayers were answered, brother. You got there, and you were able to experience that.
Yeah,
so
I got back.
Yeah.
Got seen.
And he is healed, by the way.
He is healed.
Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am.
Our day school is having their open house this afternoon, and prayers for those families and the teachers and children.
Day school, children, teachers, and families. Gonna get crazy around here during the week again. You can't have a bad day. You just can't. As soon as you do, some kid's walking around his finger up his nose. We go. Yes.
This is probably something everybody shares, so I just want to pray in general for family members, friends, strangers, entities, whoever, that have either lost their faith and haven't found it again, or have never found it, and just praying for those people who love and care about and be saved.
Beautiful. Yeah, all those. Friends, family, friends, strangers, and enemies, all those struggling with faith. Absolutely beautiful. Are there others? Yes, sir.
I broke my home number at 5-7-3. If y'all please me that, I went to thank you for it.
You know I'm not going to forgive you. You know better than that. Gotcha, brother. What? Are there others this morning?
My daughter wanted to thank everyone for praying for Rebecca, and she they ruled out AFib at Vanity, but she still has electrical problems with her heart.
More prayers for Rebecca as they're still trying to figure it out, but it's not a remedy. So that's
not AFib.
AFib, that's good. Are others this morning? Anybody else? Glad you're feeling better, son. Pulled it out a couple of weeks, not feeling well, but feeling much better. Are there anybody else? Let's go to God in prayer. Oh, Lord, we've got a large list. We do every week almost, it seems, because we care. I mean, Amy's over here lifting up enemies. God, we're trying. And so thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come to you with our concerns, our hurts, our joys, our praises. We thank you, God, for this. And we ask that you hear these prayers, not because you wouldn't otherwise, but because we just need to ask for us. And so we also say thank you for hearing our prayers. We say thank you, God, for being with us and us being with you. We thank you, God, for that, for we desperately need you. And we ask that you see these prayers as the first fruits of all the prayers that we have. All those thoughts during the week that are anxious, or all those thoughts during the week that are fearful, we ask that you turn those into prayers to you, and that we find peace and comfort all week long like we're asking for in these situations. Where we can be instruments of your grace, allow us to be so. Where we can be lights to the world, allow us to be so. And when we're walking in light, thank you, God, for when a light shows up in our presence. We ask you, God, to do something amazing in these prayer requests, because we ask you to do something amazing all the time in this world. Just be you and allow us to follow. And we pray all this through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please stand for the benediction? Go in love. Go in joy. Go in peace. Go in grace and go in mercy. And go no other way. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you and never from one another. And God's people said, amen.